these scriptures do point us towards Christ. And I'd like to reread just a little bit of the Jeremiah passage for us. So there was a lot in that passage, and I want to reread the little chunk that I want to lift out and look at with all of us today. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." So hold on to that in your minds as we walk through this together a little bit. So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? These are interesting times we live in, are they not? Is anybody, regardless of who you're going to vote for, sick and tired of the politics?
Yeah.
I've had my fill. I've even been thinking about getting off Facebook for the next 2 months. You know, if people didn't reach out for ministry purposes on there, I probably would just can it. But I've had it up to here with everything that's going on out there. And people are willing to throw away their relationships and their family. They're willing to throw away their relationships and their church, all over political junk that's floating around out there, half of which is probably not true anyways. So we've got the political climate that's horrible. The moral compass in our nation is kind of spinning. It's been spinning for a while. And it seems that people have lost their way. They've lost their direction. You know, scripture today talks about how we'll have itching ears and people will be blown about by wings of doctrine and want to follow what they want to hear versus what the law of the Lord is. So the question for us as a church living in this and as individual Christians living in this environment is, where is true north? Where is the anchor? What is the baseline for us? Pontius Pilate asked the famous question, you know what it is? What is truth? What is truth? You know, the people in the Old Testament, they struggled with sin, and they struggled with their morality. And again and again and again, God brought in another covenant to them, another deal with them, okay? Another opportunity, a relationship with him. They would sin, they would walk away, there would be judgment, then there would be repentance, and then God would restore. And this cycle kept happening again and again and again. You know, you can probably call to mind a movie where the hand of God writes the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, and the fire comes out and burns it into the rock, right? And then today, we have the scripture about God writing his law in our hearts. That's a new thing. So, this is in Jeremiah. This is 600 years before Jesus was going to come. 600 years, think about that. What was going on 600 years ago from now? Okay? That's a long time before Jesus was coming. And the prophet Jeremiah speaks of this new covenant God would make with his people. He says, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. They will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." This is a completely new thing. This is huge. We can let those words kind of slip past us. But to the people that were listening, who were used to having laws, written on tablets of stone, or just volumes and volumes of laws. Go back and read some of the books of the law, and you'll see all these laws that people had to keep, and you'll see why it was nigh unto impossible to live a life and be sinless. Only one person ever did that, and we know who that is. So what is the law that God writes on our hearts and on our minds? Here's a few things it's not. It's not the law of Moses, right? The law of Moses, that was early on in our covenant relationships with God. Think about the Ten Commandments. If God wrote the Ten Commandments on our hearts, then Jesus pretty much died for nothing, okay? Just to say we shouldn't keep them, I don't want you to go and say, oh, the pastor said we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. It's not a new and improved, reworked version of the law. It's not a new set of commandments that we have to keep in order to be saved. We cannot please God by keeping any new law any more than we could please Him by keeping an old law. Yes, we're to be obedient to God, but the question is why? And the third thing this is not, is it's not the knowledge of right and wrong that was bestowed upon us pretty much against God's wishes by Adam in the garden, right? Having the knowledge of good and evil. So this new law that God writes on our hearts and our minds gets embedded in our very being through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." You're under the old covenant. Love was demanded from you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you can probably complete the rest of that, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. But under the new covenant of grace, love is given to you by God in Christ. As I have loved you, you love one another. How does this happen? Romans 5:5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So God abundantly pours His love into our hearts by giving us the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ. So you see the difference between the old and the new law? I'm trying to highlight it for us today. Under the law was a rule for weak people to obey. Under the new, the law is the Spirit of Christ given to us, loving others through us. Under the old law, you loved because you feared punishment. But under the new law, you love because Jesus, the lover of souls, lives within us and is our nature now to love because it is His nature to love. Under the old law, you really had to make an effort to obey. Under this new law, you're no longer under the law of sin and death. With a relationship with Christ, you don't have to sin. You have the Holy Spirit of God living within you that leads you in all truth and instructs you in righteousness. And it's a whole new way of life that we have a shot at here. Paul said, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" You know, if you go back and read Paul's pedigree, he was a guy that really did a good job of keeping the law. You know, he was a Pharisee's Pharisee. He kept it all. He did it all. He knew it all with all the laws. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't do it. And he knew it. And he knew that he was trapped in death because he was held by a good law. And then he says, "Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." So the old law was a what? And the new law that Jeremiah talks about is a who. Kind of different, right? Yeah, okay. So this new law is the law of the Spirit who gives life. 2 Corinthians says, "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So the Spirit of God being written into our hearts brings God's law and his love into our hearts. It brings a desire to obey Christ and his commands because he first loved us, not because we're terrified of God's punishment. So if we look into the mirror of Moses' law, we'll be pretty miserable. It exposes all our faults. But if we look into the perfect law, which is Jesus, we realize that when we receive Christ by his Holy Spirit into us, the Lord doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ imposed over us through his sacrifice. This has profound implications for how we live in our world today. All scripture is God-breathed, we read. In it is everything that we need. How do you find true north? If you have Christ living within you, and you have the Holy Spirit working your life, the scripture comes alive. I don't know about you, but I can remember a time in my life when the scripture was really confusing. It was just like words on page. And it was really tough to understand. Some parts of it still require study and a lot of work to understand, but when you have Christ living within you, when God's law, when the who of God's law is written on your heart, the scriptures can leap off the page to you. It comes alive in an exciting, powerful, and life-changing way that illuminates where the line is, that illuminates true north, that points us to Christ, that helps us to live life in a way that pleases God. So the scriptures today, as I said to the younger folks, are pointing towards Advent already, okay? I don't know if Walmart has their Christmas stuff out yet. I know they have their Halloween stuff out in August, but yeah, Mary says they do have their Christmas stuff out yet. Okay, all right. So Jesus is coming, our scriptures tell us today. God's law on our hearts. Jesus came once as a child. He's coming again in glory to rule and to reign. Will we be ready? Will we as the church, the bride of Christ, have done everything to stand? Or did we blow with the various winds of doctrine and relativistic morality? Did we move the goalposts because it was comfortable for us? Or did we stand on what the Lord teaches us? And more importantly, what will Jesus find in our hearts as individuals when he comes? How are we preparing ourselves? Got your milk, bread, and toilet paper? Are you ready? How are we going to hold on to our bearings in the storm of life? Sometimes we can feel adrift. Sometimes when I look at the situation in our country, I feel somewhat adrift. Oh man, where are we going? We might feel that way because of politics, morality. Maybe we have financial challenges in our lives that make us feel like we're no longer anchored. Maybe we're afraid of something. Maybe we're facing a health crisis. Certainly, loss and grief can make us feel adrift. But Scripture holds the keys to this. Scripture holds the truth and points to the anchor, the true north, Jesus Christ. So as the body of Christ, we need to encourage one another. We need to bear one another's burdens, see where one another is struggling, speak a word of encouragement, speak a word of exhortation, anticipate people's needs, and respond. By spending time in prayer with the Lord, and by spending time in the Word, God's Holy Spirit, if you invite him, will bring God's word to life in your heart in ways that you cannot even imagine. Without this, we're like the ship that loses power in the hurricane. They're floating around, being blown by the storm, and they have no way to know which direction to go in. And even if they can get their engine started, they have no bearings. We need a fixed point on the horizon to be able to navigate, and that is Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture. So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?